The coronavirus hysteria is fake. Don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those mad conspiracy theories. I'm going to explain what the hidden agenda is and why we're being told all sorts of rubbish, why governments and the media are exaggerating and why they're telling lies. So here are some facts. I know that's pretty daft to be putting out on the internet, but these are real facts and you can check them. Number one, the World Health Organization says that the average number of deaths from flu, that's the ordinary old-fashioned flu, are between 250,000 and 650,000 a year. That's global. The US Center for Disease Control and Prevention says that in an average sort of year, 45 million people will get the flu, the old-fashioned, nasty, keep you off work, maybe keep you in bed, and if you're very unlucky, maybe kill you, flu. The total number of deaths since the coronavirus was discovered and found itself a public relations manager has been about 6,500. That's today, the 16th of March. It will undoubtedly be more by the time you watch this. The number who would have died from flu, ordinary common or garden flu, in a bad winter period, would be at least 10 times that. 10 times the number of people who have died from the coronavirus so far altogether. And nobody really seems to know when it started. It might have been last November, it might have been January. Either way, that is a hell of a lot less than would have died from the ordinary flu. Now, the strange thing is that the figures for ordinary flu seem to be rather unavailable. The British government has said that it has no figures for ordinary flu at the moment. Well, normally they keep figures, but they seem to be not keeping figures at the moment. Are they mixing up the flu figures with the coronavirus figures? Who knows? The forecasts at the moment are quite obscenely huge. The experts, and I use that with inverted commas around the word, the experts are claiming that 80% of all people in all countries will get the coronavirus, and the number of people who will need to go to hospital will be measured in many tens of millions. In the UK alone, they're talking about 8 million people in hospital with the coronavirus. Nobody knows how on earth they know this, because they're just pulling the figures out of the air. The interesting thing is that the World Health Organization says that it is actually more difficult to catch the coronavirus than it is to catch ordinary flu. The drama makers are claiming that all these people will die. One newspaper in the UK had the headline, people will die. Well, people die falling down the stairs. People die falling off horses. It's very sad, and people die in all sorts of different ways. But there isn't really any need to get scary about it unless you've got some solid figures. They haven't got any solid figures. So what's going on? Well, this isn't the first time that governments and the media have exaggerated scares. You may or may not remember the AIDS scare in the 80s and 90s, when it was suggested by the British Medical Association that everyone in Britain would be touched by AIDS. And there were thousands of millions of people who were terrified out of their wits. A lot of people were committing suicide because they were so worried. And at one point in the United Kingdom, there were more people employed to look after AIDS patients than there were AIDS patients. I mention this only to show that this isn't the first time that we've had a scare. Remember SARS? Remember the pig flu? Remember Ebola? From time to time, governments feel a need to scare us. It's what they do, and they like to keep us under control. But what's going on this time? This time, I think, is rather different. The government in the UK is targeting the over 70s. Anyone over 70 will shortly be told that they have to stay in their home for 4 months. They won't be allowed out. They can't go to the doctor, they can't go to the dentist, they can't go to the optician, they can't walk the dog. Food supplies will be placed on their doorstep so that they can nip out, grab their groceries off the doorstep and take them back inside. Even prisoners get better treatment than that. Even prisoners get access to doctors and dentists. Why is the government picking on the over 70s? It's really odd, because all the people who've died from the coronavirus so far have been people who had illnesses, other illnesses. They had heart problems, they had lung problems. They were quite seriously ill before they died of the coronavirus. It would make far more sense to say anyone who's got a serious chest condition, a serious health problem, should stay in and keep away from others in the hope that they won't get the coronavirus. But no, government's not saying that. Government is saying quite specifically that over 70s have to lock themselves in. Well, there are 90-year-olds who run marathons, and there are 40-year-olds and 30-year-olds who die from heart disease, lung disease, and all sorts of other diseases. It would make infinitely more sense to select those people to be isolated and in quarantine. The next thing is that the self-isolation business, which is now so popular, governments everywhere are saying people have to stay in for 7 days. Well, I don't really understand that, because according to all the information we have, the coronavirus can be active for 28 days. And the last time I looked, 28 days was a little bit longer than 7 days. So self-isolating for 7 days is utterly pointless. The other thing that I want to talk about is the way that the deaths have been distorted. At the moment, the figures that we have suggest that the coronavirus is more deadly than an ordinary flu virus. But is it really? Just look at the way figures are presented, because that's what's important. If you have 100 people who are diagnosed with a disease and 4 of them die, then the death rate is obviously 4%. But with the coronavirus, they're only testing people who are seriously ill and people who are in hospital. So the numbers of people who actually have the coronavirus is undoubtedly much higher. So instead of the 100, there are probably 1,000 or 10,000. If you have 1,000 people who have coronavirus and 4 of them die, then the death rate is 0.4. If you have 10,000 people with the coronavirus and the death rate is 4, then and the number of deaths is 4, then the death rate becomes even smaller in percentage terms. And if you simply stop identifying the virus, which has never really started, then you manage to manipulate the figures and make it even more scary. Doctors at the moment all around the world are saying that this crisis, and now we're coming to the hidden agenda, or at least part of it, doctors all around the world are saying that the crisis is so bad that they won't be able to treat patients who are in their 70s or 80s. Not only will they not be able to treat them for the coronavirus, but they won't be able to treat them for anything. They're going to be so stressed dealing with these millions and millions of people with this deadly coronavirus that they won't be able to deal with anybody, whatever they've got wrong with them, if they're over 70 or over 80. Now, I have a suspicion that this is just the beginning. I think that what's happening here is the demonization, the marginalization, the dehumanization of the elderly, because the elderly have become a global problem in economic terms. All those pensions are destroying the economic viability of a lot of countries. And in order to try and get rid of some of those old people, governments everywhere are doing some very strange and wicked things. In the United Kingdom, for example, elderly patients who have macular degeneration are very often not treated because there isn't any money. There's plenty of money around for cosmetic surgery or gender reassignment, but there's no money around for stopping old people going blind. The United Nations has decreed that if someone over 70 dies, then they don't really matter because they don't count. And so nations everywhere are very happily welcoming this because it gives them a chance to kill off the elderly without it looking bad for the nation's health services. Younger people may welcome this, but they might also like to think of two things. One, if you're 30 today, you'll be in the danger zone in not too many years' time. And secondly, if 70 is now the cut-off time, and doctors are going to say, we're not going to treat anyone over 70 because they're not worth treating and we haven't got the resources, when will it become 60? And when will it become 50? Those are things that we all need to be very careful about. There's another thing as well. I don't think it's as important as the marginalisation of the elderly, but I rather suspect that when the vaccine becomes available to protect us all against the coronavirus, it won't be voluntary, it'll be compulsory. And when that vaccination has become compulsory, so will all other vaccinations, because that's what governments everywhere have been pushing for a long time. So those are the two hidden agendas. I think we're heading for compulsory vaccination, and I think we're heading for the marginalisation of the elderly. And I think all you have to do to check on what's happening is to look and see how many people have got the coronavirus in a few weeks' time, how many people have died of it, and measure that against the number of people who in an average sort of year might be expected to die from ordinary common or garden flu. Remember, 650,000 people a year in a pretty bad year is what you'd expect to die according to the World Health Organization. Of course, it was an awful lot more than that in 1918 when the Spanish flu hit. If you want to know more and keep up with what's happening with the coronavirus, take a look at my website, www.vernoncolman.com. There's no ads and it's entirely free. Thanks for watching.